Welcome to episode 3 of The Berg Show. And P, you know, Mike Tyson was once quoted as saying, everybody has a plan before they get punched in the mouth.
All I can say is it's always darkest before the dawn. And if you're giving up hope, I guess, like, watch another sport. Going gets tough. You know, you gotta hunker down and get ready for it.
Well, P, I would be a lot more confident about this series if we had taken one game from Detroit. I feel like the Penguins were really confident going into game one. Everyone seemed really calm, especially Coach Dan Bylsma. And looking at the reactions after game two, I saw a lot of disheartened faces. And I saw a lot of guys that were wondering why, even though the Penguins have outshot Detroit in two straight games, they've lost both games 3-1.
I thought I still saw a lot of life from the Pens and what they said and how they acted after the game. Specifically, Sergei Gonchar was pretty confident. He said we're going to win. So, I mean, you got to take it one game at a time. These were such close games. These felt...
Did they feel close to you? I felt as though game two, the Penguins had one very solid period. But I thought in the third period, once Detroit had the lead and they started trapping and bringing all their guys back defensively and basically saying, hey, we're not even going to attack anymore. We're just going to dump it in deep. Come and beat us. Come skate around our guys.
I think it's hard to erase a two-goal deficit against Detroit. I think in both games, the Albuquerque goals just... they were so unbelievable that I really think that breaks a team. When you hit, in game two, when Albuquerque made that goal, when the puck was literally on its side, careening across the ice, and he just slapped it as hard as he could, and it went perfect top shelf over Fleury.
Well, I think Fleury still should have stopped it, but I think people don't realize how impossible that shot is when the puck's on its side to shoot a slap shot like that. Yeah, you'd probably hit that in the top corner maybe one out of every 200 times, especially going across his body like that. I mean, that was really a gut punch for the Penguins. But personally, and I know you disagree, I think this series might be over, P. I think Penguins fans still have a lot to... they can hold on to a lot of hope because the Pens still have two of the best players in the game, but Detroit's strategy is really winning out here. Dan Bylsma is getting out-coached by one of the best coaches in the game in Babcock. And this is nothing against Bylsma. I mean, this is his first finals. And I think we've seen the tempo, the intensity, the split-second decisions that you have to make as a coach in the finals is a lot different than the regular playoff series that we've experienced so far. And I told you this going in. This was my reasoning for why I thought Detroit was going to beat us. I thought Detroit was not playing their best hockey in the Western Conference playoff series before the finals, and I thought they were really going to turn it on against the Penguins. And it's night and day. It's like watching a different team. Really, the physicality of the Wings has pretty much dominated us, in my opinion, other than Brooks Orpik and Matt Cook. Really, all the Wings are getting involved in checking us, even, you know,
it's
little
just
Darren Hill.
Hockey. That's the problem that I have. It's just unfun hockey.
It's clutch and grab.
I mean, it's if you're not reminded of those early 90s Devils teams, then, like, I must be watching a different game. Because this, it's on, I don't like seeing third liners clobbering star players. I don't like seeing Jordan Staal get abused. Like, just getting hit by two guys, like, in the face. It's just not fun hockey. It's just, there's no skill. It's just a lot of interference, it's clutch and grab.
Okay.
I mean...
okay, but you said before this series started, we talked about this series at length, and your argument was that Detroit was soft. Have you changed your mind after watching the first two games?
I mean, I think there's a difference between being soft and interfering with players. Like, if you want to call that hard-nosed hockey... I mean, I don't really even know what to call it. It's just kind of...
they play on the fringe of the rules.
They're really playing a completely different style than they've played at any other point in the playoffs. And that's what's most shocking to me is the way they completely did a 180 on their game.
Okay, but it should be familiar to you because this is exactly how they played us last season
They outshot us by almost 20 shots per game last year.
Right.
We're outshooting them every game wide margin.
I think that's the problem. I think that's been the Penguins' plan, and they thought that they could rely on the up and down hockey that they've been transformed. Basically, Bylsma has transformed them into an up and down team after Therrien's departure, and I think that was their game plan going in, to overwhelm Detroit with speed and with passing. The problem is Detroit's game plan has been superior. They're basically, even when they have two-on-twos, even when they have guys coming down the ice on even man rushes, they're actually just dumping it right into the corner and saying, okay, all right, hey, Penn's defenseman, go get the puck. We're going to hammer you. And really, the Penn's D hasn't been up to the task in moving the puck D to D and up to the forwards and breaking it out of our own end. After Detroit dumps the puck in, we oftentimes get stuck in our own zone for 10, 15 seconds. The puck will be behind the net. When the Pens dump it in, we're only getting one guy in on their defenseman. They easily go D to D. No one's covering the other defenseman, and they're just passing it around and breaking it out.
Yeah, I mean, we're taking a lot, and we're also taking a lot of outside shots that's leading to kind of one-and-done opportunities,
right,
where we take a shot, then we lose possession of it, and Detroit comes back pretty strong. And that's what I said in the earlier podcast. Detroit 3-on-3 is great. I mean, they execute with a lot of skill whenever they're coming down the ice with speed. But I think they're showing that the Pens do have some blue line deficiencies. I think even when one D-man steps up, let's say Hal Gill in game two, there's a game one where he really was honestly the worst player on the ice defend anyone.
That serves my point. I don't think as individual players the Penguins defensemen have deficiencies really, besides Hal Gill, who's probably the least talented of the Penguins defensemen. But I think that the tactics are wrong. I think that the pairings are wrong. And this is where I think Babcock is out-coaching Bylsma the most. For instance, in games 1 and 2, Bylsma has sort of hedged his bets. And when he puts Crosby's line out on the ice, our most offensive line, he puts the defensive pairing of Hal Gill and Rob Scuderi with them.
I agree.
And that's a bad tactical decision, because if you watch on the Pens breakouts when Crosby's on the ice, it's frustrating. They're losing all speed because the breakout passes aren't there from Gill and Scuderi, two of the Penguins' probably worst puck movers.
And I think another thing that we're going to see later, I hope to see, is the weakness of the Detroit defense is the pressure. You have to use that pressure against them. And the thing is, I love the first line, but honestly, we need to get Crosby and Malkin together on the ice a lot more, and they need to play a lot more. Anaheim did the same thing. They had all their best players on the top line, and they took Detroit to 7 games. Garrett hasn't put away about 4. Must have goals. And in this series, you have to finish.
And Kunitz, too, has been invisible.
Yeah. But the thing is, I think that the Penguins, if we could just start finishing a little bit, we can beat this team. I still don't see a glaring. It's not like last year when we got shut out 2 games in a row. I mean, we still took that series to 6.
Okay. Here's what I'm worried about, P. I'll give you 3 reasons why I think this series is over. And I think we have absolutely played better in the first 2 games than we have last season. But I see 3 things that aren't going to change.
Okay.
Number 1. Mike Babcock is going to continue to outcoach Dan Bylsma. And if that's not Bylsma's fault, he just doesn't have the experience. And if you see the look in his eye on the bench, I think that you can tell he's a little bit overwhelmed at this point. Now, the Penguins will get the last change on faceoffs in Pittsburgh in games 3 and 4, and I'm interested to see what Bylsma does with that and with the matchups, because right now the matchups aren't working out for him like they worked out against Washington and Carolina. But I think Babcock's going to continue to outcoach Bylsma. Number 2, Pavel Datsyuk, a Hart Trophy candidate and the leading scorer for the Red Wings in the regular season, has not played in games 1 and 2 and might not play in game 3. But if this series drags out and he gets healthy
done.
Again.
I think he's done.
Well, he might be done. But if they're doing all this with role players so far, really. Even Hossa hasn't exploded like I thought he would. It's got the guys like Darren Helm, Abdelkader, role playing guys for Detroit like Cleary. The non-household names that are killing us. And if Datsyuk comes back and Hossa gets rolling, that's what I'm worried about. That Detroit hasn't played their best hockey yet they still are beating us. And third, I know you think that I'm going to name some kind of obscure stat. Like teams that have gone down 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals have only won 1 in whatever it is. But to me, that doesn't matter, because the Penguins do have a lot of perseverance and a lot of tenacity, and they've come back all season long, and I don't doubt them. But if I had to bet my life on it, I would pick the Red Wings for this third point. I said it before the playoffs started, and I said it before this series started. The key for the Penguins is getting bodies in front of the opposing goalie. When they do, they score. In this series, Detroit has continued time and time again to put their butts in front of Marc-Andre Fleury, like Darren Helm did uncontested in Game 2 for the go-ahead goal, while the Penguins rarely are getting rebound opportunities. Even on the Ruslan Fedotenko goal that tied up the game in Game 1. Even on that, he was so far away by the time he got to that rebound. Osgood basically fumbled the rebound, and that was really the only chance we've had in front of the net aside from the Malkin goal in Game 2, which was pretty much a scramble, and we did nice work there, but I'm not seeing enough bodies in front of the net.
Okay.
We can't move Cronwall. We can't even move little guys like Helm.
Okay, and to counter your three reasons, I'm going to give three reasons why the Pens are going to win this series. And the
I
want to
hear
reason,
it, brother.
The first reason is clear-cut, and the players are saying it, and I wholeheartedly agree with it. And it's been the philosophy this whole time, and it's a philosophy that works in hockey, and that is we've outshot the Red Wings in both games, and that matters. Once we start finishing our chances, once we start putting in those loose pucks around the net, like you just talked about, I think we win. I think we've had much, much better chances than Detroit. Detroit really has had two fluke goals that have put it kind of out of reach, and goals that, I mean, that Erickson goal was clearly interfering. Like, I don't want to whine, I don't want to complain, but I think we're out shooting them, and I think we have more chances. We just have to finish our chances. The second reason I think we can still win it is, I know Fleury hasn't played his best game yet. I think Fleury can come back to Philly form and steal us some games. And that's what I think still makes him so dangerous. And if Fleury stands on his head tomorrow night and we win, I mean, the series is 2-1. If we win two straight at home and the series is 2-2, everyone's going to say that we have all the momentum going into Detroit, that we're going to win it all, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, we're going to take it one game at a time. We win one game, we're fine. I don't think people in that locker room are overreacting. But the third reason I think that we are going to win is that we haven't lost at home yet, and Malkin and Crosby can step it up. That's kind of a twofold reason. But when you have the best two players on the ice, anything can happen. And when you have a guy like Malkin and a guy like Crosby, who when Malkin can physically take over the game and Crosby does all the right things in front of the net, gets his teammates open, I think good things are going to happen, and I think you're going to see a lot more ice time for those two guys, and I think you're going to see them playing a lot more together. Because the only way to, like I said before, the only way to crack this defensive pressure is to have two superstars on the ice, where if you leave a guy open, you're going to pay. Because right now, we're not finishing the chances that we have when other guys are open, because everyone's going to Crosby, everyone's going to Malkin. So the only way to solve that is you put those two guys on the ice, and you let the chips fall where they may. I mean, I think if they get the most ice time in the game, that's what I want, because I want the best players on our team to have the most ice time in the game, and I won't be dissatisfied if we lose. Losing whenever they're kind of the third or fourth or fifth guys in ice time behind three defensemen. I understand defensemen get more ice time, but still, Crosby and Malkin are exceptions to the rule. You got to play them more than you play anyone else, and they need to be on the ice at all times. I hate to agree with Mike Milbury, but he was saying at the end of the game, and I totally agree with it. With 3 minutes left in the Stanley Cup Finals, you can't have Jordan Staal out there in the third line. You have to have your superstars out there ready to score goals. And I think Bylsma's going to do that. I think if he doesn't, that's going to be a big issue, because you need to have these superstars on the ice.
You know, Pete, it's funny you say that, because it's just Bylsma's making the same mistake that Chicago made in playing Detroit. He's playing not to lose.
He's keeping
his offensive stars on the bench and playing all these defensive players. And in that series, Chicago went down 2-0, and it was already too late for him. And we're seeing the same thing repeat itself in this series. And that's what really baffles me. I don't understand all the ice time for Jordan Staal. I mean, eventually you have to play to win. And that's what I thought the strategy was going into this. But perhaps when we went down 1-0, you know, in both games, when you're playing from behind, maybe your strategy changes. I don't think it should, though. I don't think the Penguins can be afraid to lose. And I think that's the real problem right now. And if they correct that, I agree. We have a chance. For all those people on the bridge right now, please, come down.
Be a fan. You know, we're down two games. It's first to four, not first to two. And yeah, you can listen to media pundits that don't watch any hockey, and they'll name you the meaningless statistics like Colin talked about, yeah, 31-1. What is that? That has no bearing whatsoever on this game. I mean, it's not over till it's over. And I just think the Penguins have more than a tiny chance, more than a 1% chance to win. I mean, it's hockey, and I think we haven't played that bad. And if people want to compare it to last year, so be it. Yeah, we're down 0-2, but this team looks completely different, and the games feel completely different. And I think that's a lot more important than just saying, oh, they're down 0-2, it's over.
Here's how you will know in Game 3 if we're in trouble. Look to see how much space Malkin and Crosby have on the ice. Detroit somehow keeps playing defensively out of their minds like they have been in the first two games, I would be really surprised. The tempo that they've played with in taking away the space on the ice has been unbelievable. I don't think that's something they'll be able to replicate on the road.
Yeah, and it's like you said with Babcock out coaching Bylsma. I agree to a point, but we haven't seen Bylsma at home. And once I see Bylsma at home, depending on what he does with the lines and who he puts out there and the matchups that he dictates because we're on home ice, I think you can't say a guy's been outcoached until he loses at home in the playoffs. It's just like last year in Game 4, Michel Therrien clearly got outcoached because we got killed that game. And I just don't think you can sell Bylsma short yet. I mean, we'll see after Game 3. If the same things are happening and we have the upper hand on who we want on the ice, I mean, you can't really argue it. But until he gets a chance on home ice, I think it's still up in the air.
I think it also comes down to Marc-Andre Fleury's play. And I will just throw this little nugget out there. You know, when we played the Capitals in Game 7 and Semyon Varlamov was going into that game, I just had a thought in my head. I thought, you know what? This kid has played out of his mind up to this point, right?
Yeah.
He's been thrown into this situation, played exceptionally.
Yeah.
But he's still young. And he's never experienced a Game 7 of this magnitude yet in front of his home fans with all that pressure. And really, I think a lot of pundits would say, well, at least, you know, Varlamov got to play at home. At least Fleury is coming back home to Pittsburgh, and that should take some pressure off. But I wonder, is that actually more pressure, being in front of your home fans when you're down like this? Do you feel like you're going to let everyone down? Is it easier to be on the road, maybe?
I see your point, and I agree. I agree with the volume up. That's an elimination game. And I think that Fleury especially, I think he really rallies behind the Mellon Arena fans. And I think that I think Fleury's been in a lot of pressure situations before. And the one thing that I'm seeing out of that locker room, I don't see a lot of guys to come into the pressure. I still see a lot of confidence. And the reason I still like Bylsma is what he said before the game. He said, we don't care if we like win the game as long as we play it the right way. And I think that's the way you got to look. You can't put it in your players' minds that this is a must win. Whenever you're telling your players it's a must win or whatever, I just think that hurts their psyche. I think Bylsma's a pretty cool guy in the sense that he keeps his players at a pretty even keel. And you didn't see a lot of overreactions in the locker room. I mean, they just said, Detroit played well. We thought we played well. Let's bring it home and see what happens. I don't think being down 0-2 is the end of the world. I don't think it means death. I mean, you're supposed to win your games at home. I mean, everyone wants the series to go to 7. It can still go to 7. I mean, just because they won 2 straight doesn't really mean that the series is over. And you've got to take solace in all the scoring chances that we've had and the way that we've played. I mean, we definitely haven't laid down and died. We definitely are skating hard. You know, we definitely are playing our hearts out. And Malkin, and I mean, let's just touch on that real quick. Malkin at the end of the game showing a little fire. I mean, people want to say he should be suspended, then you've never watched hockey in your life.
Yeah, you know, P, I have to say, no matter what happens in this Stanley Cup final series, I have had a fantastic time watching this Penguins team, not only this year, but the last 2 years. These are guys who I would love to, you know, call friends. And
they care about the city. They care about the fans. I mean,
and they stick up for one another.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
It's a great group
nice
of guys. And I stand, this was a great season. And I don't even want to say that yet. I don't want to say goodbyes or anything like that until it's the end of the season. I mean, I'm not going to give up till the last buzzer sounds.
Let's say the Penguins are able to turn this series around.
Mm-hmm.
Who emerges as the Conn Smythe winner and MVP for the Penguins? Who needs to step their game up, get it done, and lead this team? Is it Malkin?
I want to say Crosby, but it's Malkin. It's Evgeny Malkin. I think that fight last night shows people what he means, like the emotion, the fire, and he's a physical specimen. I mean, Crosby's great, but he's never going to be bigger than 5'11", no matter what, no matter how strong his legs are, no matter how good he is with his stick, he's never going to be as big as Malkin and able to shrug off defenders and hits like he is, and we just need Evgeny Malkin to take over this series, and I don't know. The fight that could be the spark that we needed. I've never seen Malkin like that. And I personally, as a hockey fan and a fan of Evgeny Malkin, loved it. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was great. I thought it probably inspired his teammates. And I think it's going to inspire him. So I think Malkin's the key to the series. If we end up winning the cup, Malkin's winning the Conn Smythe.
Let me give you a dark horse for the Conn Smythe in this ideal scenario.
Don't say Fleury.
No.
Don't say Fleury.
I don't have that much faith.
Yeah.
Let me throw out the name. Ruslan Fedotenko.
I'd love it.
What an unbelievable series he has. And no matter what happens in this series, Ray Shiro, you need to resign
please,
that man.
Please. I've never seen this much heart in the playoffs. I mean, wow. He's on fire out there. You can't even put it into words how good he's playing.
And I think with that, we say mahalo to Peter Sikora. And we're also going to have to say mahalo to this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Enjoy Game 3. Keep the faith. Good night.
Go Pens!
And go Pens.